If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to Psalm 91? This is where we're going to camp out for much of this morning. And you will find at your tables or behind you a two-sided sheet to take some notes on. Having been an educator, one of the things you quickly learn, if I say something to you, you'll remember about 30-40% of it. If you take some notes, you might remember 50 or 60% of it. And if later in the week, later on, you discuss it and go over things with somebody else, as a number of us will be joining the Zoom meeting on Tuesday evening, I find it interesting that you can now communicate all over the place. Last Tuesday night, Carrie logged in from Indianapolis. We saw Babs yesterday. She says, I want to know what you're speaking about because I'm logging in from San Francisco this coming Tuesday. So if you'd like to join us, make sure that you're involved in one of that Zoom meeting or one of the others. You've no doubt noticed the theme that has been running through our songs and so forth, but sort of the opposite direction of that. Do you remember the nursery rhyme? I think it's even been made into a song now. Nobody likes me, everybody hates me, going down the garden eating worms. Big fat juicy ones, little skinny scrawny ones, going down the garden eating worms. If you care to, later on today, you can look it up on your computer or smartphone. Google it. There's a whole song and all that kind of stuff. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Going down the garden eating worms. I shouldn't go into all the details, but it talks about how to get the juice off of the skin of the worm and all kinds of things. Goes all the way back 1940s, 1950s. It was classic, I guess you would call it. I overheard at the grocery store this past Tuesday. I now do the shopping. And there was somebody talking about army worms and how their yard had been invaded with army worms. And the other person said, "That's not bad. Now I don't have to mow anymore." Of course, we have the COVID-19 going on, and at our JC store, everybody now once again wears masks as we walk up and down the aisle seeking to find what is at least present. There were several items that were on my shopping list that they said, "Oh, well, we can't get that in this store." I was also notified that, sorry about those who are like horses, but West Nile virus is back, and we've had some mosquitoes go after some horses in Pike County. Aren't you glad you live in Gibson County? There must not be West Nile virus in Gibson County. But a lady was at the checkout, and she was scratching her back, and the clerk asked her, "What's going on?" And she says, "I've been bitten by a brown recluse spider." And she'd been going through the treatments for that, and she's woeing, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, right? cicada have finally arrived in Petersburg, and somebody commented, you know what? They're keeping me awake at night. I said, I shut the window. Another person came up to me and said, I don't know what to do anymore. Restaurants, you can go pick things up, but we only have one restaurant in all of Pike County that's drive-through, drive-up window, and it's a Subway. And they were getting tired of eating Subway sandwiches, and they weren't even on the Subway diet. Those kinds of things start to, we don't even have to, Bobby doesn't like to watch the news anymore. You understand why. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Times are terrible. I've got aches and pains. How did we get to this? Remember the garden? Adam and Eve chose to sin. The curse, he who eats of this tree will surely die. Wasn't instantaneous, but weed showed up. Diseases, all the other kinds of things that have come our way. The wages of sin is death. It's all part of the curse. Today we're going to look, though, at Psalm 91. It starts out, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, not the shelter of the almost great, the second place. If there was a football game and God was involved and winning was important, who could you count on? God, right? Most High. Notice in that same verse, we will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Did it say the not quite strong enough? Almighty. Too often we look at life from the standpoint of the person going down the garden eating worms, because we think nobody loves us, nobody cares about us, it can't get any worse, times are terrible, and we forget that we have the Most High God, and we who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When my kids were little and there was a somewhat stressful situation, I think I recall we were in one of the national parks that had a cave, and we were all given little headphones. And as you walk through various kinds of things, and we adults had a different message coming, which clicked on as you arrived at different locations than our two boys who were small kids at the time. And suddenly both boys, one took my hand, one took Bobby's hand, and we said, what did they tell you to do? And they said, hold on to your parents' hand.
They were right there in the shadow of their parents. But we have to understand that we are in the shadow of the Almighty. That's very close, isn't it? To be within His shadow. We are not left out in the far distant wilderness wondering where God is. We have His presence right by us. When we are tempted, understand that God is right there. Understand when we feel threatened, God is there. And just as our children reached over and took our hands, we can reach out and touch the hand of God. We can step immediately into His presence because, as it says, those who are believers in Christ, when we pray, we step into His very presence. And if Satan shows up and accuses us before God of our sin, Jesus, who is sitting on the right hand of the Father, steps forward and says, "He or she is one of mine. I have paid the price." We have sung about the love of God. How much more? Move to the next verse, and it says, "I say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Trust in the Lord, my refuge, our safety, my fortress surrounds us. The Almighty, the Most High, He is my God and your God if you're a child of His. And we can trust in Him. Since you see so much about football these days, I can remember having the ball handed off to me, and I looked for the guard pulling from the line who was supposed to take out the right side, the linebacker on the left side for them, for us the right side. The guard never made it. He was misnamed on that play, wasn't he? Now you have to remember, as a freshman in high school, I was 5'3" and weighed 92 pounds. I was fast, but I wasn't fast enough. When difficulties come our way, when we are wandering down the row of the garden, and we think it can't get any worse because nobody loves us, everybody hates me, who can we trust in? We know we can trust in God because He is my God and your God. Well, Verse 3 says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler." And verse 4, "He will cover you with his pinions." My boys raise chickens, mini 4-H project, all kinds of stuff. We started out with a hen and chicks. The pinions are those feathers used for flight. Reach out. And the boys quickly found out that when there was any kind of threat, the baby chicks all ran to mama and she covered them with those wings. The pinions are the ones that give flight. Remember that the wings of the bird are their main source of means of escape. What was the mother hen doing? Giving up the idea of her being able to escape so that she could do what? Protect the chicks. The comparison here is that he will deliver us, he will cover us, and he is faithful because he was willing to give his son to be our Savior. He protects us. You know, there are things that come into our lives. Just because the Nile virus mosquitoes have showed up in Pike County, I don't go out with a mosquito swatter in the evenings and chase them all away and live in fear, etc. But there are other kinds of things that happen. Back in August, Bobby and I went to the dentist for our semi-annual checkup. All teeth are looking fine, and then the dentist gets in there, and you know, after everything's been cleaned and all that kind of stuff, and he gets these, I guess it's a mirror or a light or something, and he's looking down, and he gets concerned about a tooth, and has me bite down, and so forth and so on. And he says, "That tooth is cracked." And I says, "Well, what are we going to do about that?" He said, "Well, you know, it's got an old filling in it." You'd think I'd have fresh as a daisy fillings at my age, right? He says, "I can take the old filling out and see what I can do. But he said, "I don't think the tooth is going to last very long." He says, "What we can do is take the old filling out, check it out, then go and put a post in, and then come back a month later and put a crown on it." And he said, "That's important because that's on that side of your mouth, that's the only tooth that's viable still on the bottom, and you got all those good teeth up on top coming down on it." And he says, "If it was my grandfather, I'd do it." So I go out to make the appointment. The receptionist holds up two sheets of paper. It says, "Reworking tooth, inserting post, $295. 4 weeks later, come back, new crown, $1,600. And it has a place down here for me to sign, promising that I would cover the bill since I don't have dental insurance. I had plans for that money. Some of it included buying food and, you know, those kinds of things. I signed. They called me on Tuesday of this week and said they'd had a cancellation. Could I come in on Thursday? Those of you who were in the Zoom meeting on Tuesday, remember I said, I'm going to see the dentist Thursday. And I wasn't so much concerned about the money as I was at that point. This young dentist, he's been out of dental school now 8 years or so. He's replaced my other dentist who retired. And I have to admit, at lunchtime on Thursday, I prayed, asked God to give the dentist skill that day. And asked that the procedure go well. So 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon, I showed up at the dentist with my checkbook that had had money transferred out of savings and all that kind of thing. Asked the receptionist to hold it because I didn't want to be sitting on a checkbook all during the procedure. Dental assistant, dentist, they all got to working, and you know how they fill your mouth up with wedges and so forth. Now, remember what I'd been praying for was that the dentist would have skill and it would go well. God had something else in mind. The dentist took all the stuff out of my mouth. He says, you're done. I said, what does that mean? He says, I didn't have to put a post in. The crack wasn't as deep as I thought it was, and whatever. They do all kinds of things. Back in the old days, there were all kinds of drills and stuff and a big bowl that you spit in over here. And, you know, the guy pumped it up like a dentist, or not a dentist chair, but a barber's chair. Matter of fact, my father used to go to the barber to get his teeth pulled when back in 1920. I says, what do you mean? He says, didn't need to do any of that. So I said, I don't have to come back later? Nope. Went out to the receptionist and I said, that paper said it was $200 and some. She says, yeah, it's not going to be that much. It was. I can imagine God going, ha, I did better than you thought, or even what you asked for. Have you ever given a child a gift, a blessing, an encouragement? Had things turn out better than you ever thought they would? And what was your reaction when you did that? You at least smiled, right? If not, rejoice with them. I walked in the door and I tried as I came in, and Bobby was sitting in the chair, to jump up and click my heels and filled her in on the good news. God is faithful. He loves us. He covers us. He delivers us. Look at verse 5. You will not fear the terror of the night. And just so you think, well, he'll take care of me in the night time, but what's he going to do other times? Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. You will not, it covers it all, fear at night, day, darkness, noonday. Do you have any reason to fear? Understand that we as believers, when tough times come, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, I'm fearful. I have driven through Atlanta on the interstate, and if any of you have ever done it, we're talking, what is it? Six lanes one way, six lanes the other way. People all driving like absolute idiots, diving in and out, doing 80 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone, maybe 100. My reaction rates never were that fantastic. But at this age, it's like palms sweating and so forth. All kinds of other situations come our way. You will not fear if you put your trust in the Almighty, the Most High. Verse 7, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Recompense is a big word for that you got what's coming. I don't know exactly why, but three accounts have come my way in the past week about Medal of Valor winners and how they reacted in the face of battle. It was not that they were rushing to kill the enemy. It was that they were rushing to save their buddies. They ignored the bullets. They ignored the wounds and focused on the goal before them, to reach out and save their friends. We as Christians sometimes forget we are in a battle. Satan's darts are thrown at us. The challenges that come in our lives, the difficulties that are there. But what is the true goal of the believer in this world? Is it to have things? Is it to simply spend time with friends and family? Or is our true purpose in this life to share the gospel of salvation with those around us? so that they too might enjoy eternal life with God in heaven. That's really what it's all about. There may be times that we feel unloved, but that's simply a feeling, because what we really have before us is the opportunity to love and share the love of God with those around us. The issues of this life, the difficulties, the challenges, all those things that we've already read about, the pestilence, the attacks, whether they come at night or noonday. Just listen briefly to the news, and there was a speeding vehicle coming up I-69. Police were chasing them. They ran across the other side of the road, hit two cars head on, three people killed. Yeah. The crosses are still outside of Petersburg on the road. Those kinds of things can happen. People break into houses and shoot other people. We live in a dangerous society, a difficult world. We live in a time in which there is death, injury, difficulties. Verses 9 and 10, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. And it reminds you, remember, these are things he just said back in the beginning of the psalm. The Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Sounds like we don't have a thing to worry about. But remember, this is the passage of Scripture that Satan misquoted. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 6. Actually, let's start with verse 5. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, don't jump off of 9-story buildings and expect God's angels to care for you and protect you. Because God already told you that's not a wise thing to do. There are all sorts of other things. Regardless, we were in Indianapolis yesterday, and regardless of what the state highway law says, speed limit 70 miles an hour, or maybe 50 miles an hour, or whatever, God has given me the intelligence to know that there are some times that maybe 35 ought to be more appropriate because of other issues that are going on, right? Matter of fact, whole line of cars stopped in front of me, and hey, the speed limit was 60 miles an hour in that piece of road, and I have a right to go 60 miles an hour whether those cars are stopped in front of me or not. And Bobby said, stop! Because she could see if I continued to do 60 miles an hour, she was going to be in the back seat of the car in front of us. Well, verses 9 and 10, as I indicated here on your sheet, reiterate verses 1 and 2. Dwell and abide with the Lord Most High. He does command his angels concerning you. And understand that he commands them, and we are to not do foolish things that are not what God would have us do. Look at verses 14 through 16. And by the way, verse 13, in case you didn't know, don't go around dangling your feet in front of serpents and adders and so forth, or poke lions with sticks, especially when they're on the same side of the bars you're on. But you know, there are people in this life, we've all seen the stupid stuff they do. Verse 14, because he holds fast to me in love. Who is doing the holding? He is. Well, God is speaking here, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Do you know the name of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come to that point in your life where you are trusting in him? Verse 15, when he calls to me, I will answer him. If we call upon him, he will answer. I will be with him in trouble. In other words, he will be with you in trouble. Maybe I should phrase it since it's God speaking. I will rescue him and honor him. You are being honored. You are being rescued. And then notice, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Understand that it's the Holy Spirit that reaches down into each of our hearts and lives and draws us to God to be his child. Steadfast love. You'll notice on your sheet a list of psalms and verses. And I have indicated at the bottom, make a list this week of the ways God loves you. And there are some suggestions for the beginning of your list. He protects. He chastens. Why did I ever tell my boys to stop instead of running out in the road in front of traffic? I love them. I chastened them and then I chased him.
He takes us home. The day will come in which each and every last one of us will be ushered from this life. And as Hebrews 9:27 says, as is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Not by any works of righteousness that I have done, but by God's grace through his Son on the cross of Calvary. Because Jesus will step forth and say, he is one of mine. He also teaches us. He blesses us. And many other things. Turn to Psalm 136. And I am reading from the English Standard Version. There are 26 verses here, but they are very short. If you haven't figured out that we no longer need to be spending our lives saying, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, it's a terrible time in my life, I just might as well go eat worms. Listen to these verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass throughout the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to the
to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our woes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. How long does God's love endure? Forever.
Please stand and join us.